Trend number 5, the battle for extraterrestrial security. From the perspective of both space commerce and national security, nothing has changed more over the past 65 to 70 years than our exploitation of outer space. Obviously, computing technology and networks have had a bigger impact in absolute terms, but those built on primitive mainframe computers and early transistor technology. But until 1957, no artificial satellite had ever orbited the Earth. At the end of 2021, there were 4,852 satellites in orbit around the Earth, with 136 new launches last year. Most launches only carry one satellite into space, but that's changing. A recent SpaceX launch carried 143 small satellites into Earth orbit. Most are launched into low Earth orbit, or LEO. Another sizable proportion are launched into geosynchronous Earth orbit, or GEO, which enables them to stay in a fixed point over the Earth's surface throughout their useful lives. These satellites come in many sizes and serve many purposes. Megasatellites, like the X-47 space plane, cost billions, weigh tons, and even return to Earth for reuse. Others, like those making up the Starlink satellite constellation, are tiny, cheap, and expendable. Early on, space was the exclusive domain of superpowers. The United States and the USSR worked feverishly to ensure that they were competitive on this new frontier. Initially, focused central planning enabled the Soviets to deliver spectacular results derived from their military research. However, by the end of the 1960s, the United States had pulled well ahead, even landing astronauts on the moon. From there, the fundamental aerospace research enabled by the space race increasingly complemented the explosion of infotech technologies that began in the 70s and grew exponentially. Today, space-based resources are an indispensable part of the global economy, touching the lives of virtually everyone on the planet. As a result, Russia and the United States have been joined by the EU, China, India, Iran, and even North Korea in launching satellites. And several private sector firms have gone beyond merely acting as government contractors. SpaceX, United Launch Alliance, and Blue Origin provide full-service capabilities to satellite operators. And those operators provide myriad services to government as well as private sector firms. Increasingly, we're seeing the emergence of a viable space-based business ecosystem. What do all these satellites do, and what makes them so indispensable? Satellites fall into 5 main varieties: scientific research, communications, weather, navigation, and the broad category of reconnaissance and sensing. Scientific research satellites include everything from the Hubble Space Telescope and planetary probes to the International Space Station and instruments designed to study the Big Bang. These get a lot of press, but they won't offer economic payoffs in the foreseeable future. Visits to the Moon and Mars fall into this category, but they have the added benefit of creating long-term strategic options that could be exercised down the road. Communication satellites are the real workhorses of today's space economy. This is truly a major industry, and keeping it safe is key. Over the past 3 decades, high-quality fiber networks have limited the share of backbone traffic traveling via satellite. However, satellites remain key to providing services to much of the Earth's surface. And, as the Ukraine war has made painfully obvious, LEO-based constellations like Starlink have a real competitive advantage when terrestrial networks are jeopardized. Jamming or destroying this capability could wreak havoc on an economy as well as its warfighting capability. Weather forecasting is probably the area in which satellites have had the biggest bang for the buck. Compared to the era prior to the 1960s, weather forecasting has improved dramatically. And that's primarily due to satellite imaging coupled with computer models. Consumers, farmers, airlines, insurance companies, and government agencies benefit enormously from tracking weather activity as it evolves. The loss of these satellites would create a serious problem for commerce. Even though commercial GPS has only been available since the early 1990s, it's hard to imagine how a modern society would function without navigation satellites. The U.S. system is the oldest and most widely used, but the EU, Russia, and China also built navigation networks. Part of this redundancy is to avoid being denied access to foreign-based networks. Beyond these public resources, each alliance possesses purely military navigation satellites, often kept dormant, awaiting an emergency call to action. As with communication satellites, these resources have delivered trillions of dollars in value over their lives, and their importance will only grow. Reconnaissance and sensing satellites use electromagnetic radiation to create images on and above the surface of the Earth. This includes images of farms, cities, forests, and oceans. And they track details ranging from the cars and trucks in parking lots to airplanes and tanks on the ground to ships at sea. A sixth category of satellite could be termed offensive military satellites, or killer satellites. Such satellites disrupt the performance of other satellites or ground-based targets. Even though international agreements severely limit the deployment and use of this technology, the United States, China, and Russia have all investigated this technology. That sixth category of satellite, while tiny, lies at the heart of an escalating battle for extraterrestrial security, which also involves ground-based offensive assets. Today, countries are investing as never before in so-called counter-space military capabilities designed to threaten other countries' space resources. To do so, these countries are realigning military organizations, doctrine, and strategy to include or better reflect space and counter-space capabilities. This threat is not imaginary. In November 2021, the Vice Chief of Space Operations, General David Thompson, reported that U.S. space systems are attacked every single day by reversible forms of counter-space weapons. Additionally, two destructive kinetic physical anti-satellite, or ASAT, tests have occurred in the past 3 years, which is a worrisome trend. Also of concern is the increasing use of electronic warfare capabilities to deny or degrade access to space systems using jamming and spoofing. The most recent example of this is the use of GPS jamming capabilities by Russia as part of its invasion of Ukraine. The Center for Strategic and International Studies has used unclassified sources to identify 13 types of counter-space weapons. This summary appears in the printable Trends issue. This analysis categorizes counter-space weapons into 4 broad categories: kinetic physical, non-kinetic physical, electronic, and cyber. Kinetic physical counter-space weapons attempt to strike directly or detonate a warhead near a satellite or a ground station. The 3 main forms of kinetic physical attack are direct ascent ASAT weapons, co-orbital ASAT weapons, and ground station attacks. Direct ascent ASAT weapons are launched from Earth on a suborbital trajectory to strike a satellite in orbit, while co-orbital ASAT weapons are first placed into orbit and then later maneuvered into or near their intended target. These maneuvers are commonly known as rendezvous and proximity operations, or RPOs. Attacks on ground stations are targeted at the terrestrial sites responsible for command and control of satellites or the relay of satellite mission data to users. Kinetic physical attacks tend to cause irreversible damage to the systems affected and demonstrate a strong show of force that would likely be attributable and publicly visible. A successful kinetic physical attack in space will produce orbital debris, which can indiscriminately affect other satellites in similar orbits. These types of attacks are one of the only counter-space actions that carry the potential for the loss of human life if targeted at crewed ground stations or at satellites in orbit where humans are present, such as where the International Space Station resides. To date, no country has conducted a kinetic physical attack against another country's satellite, but 4 countries, the United States, Russia, China, and India, have successfully tested direct ascent ASAT weapons. The former Soviet Union also tested co-orbital kinetic ASAT weapons as early as the 1960s. Non-kinetic physical counterspace weapons have physical effects on satellites or ground systems without making physical contact. Lasers can be used to temporarily dazzle or permanently blind the sensors on satellites or cause components to overheat. High-powered microwave or HPM weapons can disrupt a satellite's electronics or cause permanent damage to electrical circuits and processors in a satellite. A nuclear device detonated in space can create a high radiation environment and an electromagnetic pulse that would have indiscriminate effects on satellites in affected orbits. Non-kinetic attacks operate at the speed of light and, in some cases, can be less visible to third-party observers and more difficult to attribute. Satellites can be targeted with lasers and HPM weapons from ground or ship-based sites, airborne platforms, or other satellites. A satellite laser system requires high beam quality, adaptive optics if being used through the atmosphere, and advanced pointing control to steer the laser beam precisely. Technology that is costly and requires a high degree of sophistication. A laser can be effective against a sensor on a satellite if it is within the field of view of the sensor, making it possible to attribute the attack to its approximate geographical origin. An HPM can be used to disrupt a satellite's electronics, corrupt data stored in memory, cause processors to restart, and at higher power levels, cause permanent damage to electrical circuits and processors. HPM attacks can be more difficult to attribute because the attack can come from a variety of angles, including from other satellites passing by in orbit. For both laser and HPM weapons, the attacker may have limited ability to know if the attack was successful because it is not likely to produce visible indicators. The use of a nuclear weapon in space would have large-scale, indiscriminate effects that would be attributable and publicly visible. A nuclear detonation in space would immediately affect satellites within range of its EMP and create a high radiation environment that would accelerate the degradation of satellite components over the long term for unshielded satellites in the affected orbital regime. The detonation of nuclear weapons in space is banned under the Partial Test Ban Treaty of 1963, which has more than 100 signatories, although China and North Korea are not included. Electronic counterspace weapons target the electromagnetic spectrum through which space systems transmit and receive data. Jamming devices interfere with the communications to or from satellites by generating noise in the same radio frequency or RF band. An uplink jammer interferes with the signal going from Earth to a satellite, such as the command and control uplink. Downlink jammers target the signal from a satellite as it propagates down to users on Earth. Spoofing is a form of electronic attack where the attacker tricks a receiver into believing a fake signal produced by the attacker is the real signal it is trying to receive. A spoofer can be used to inject false information into a data stream or, in extremis, to issue false commands to a satellite to disrupt its operations. User terminals with omnidirectional antennas, such as many GPS receivers and satellite phones, have a wider field of view and thus are susceptible to downlink jamming and spoofing from a wider range of angles on the ground. Electronic forms of attack can be difficult to detect or distinguish from accidental interference, making attribution and awareness more challenging. Both jamming and spoofing are reversible forms of attack because once they are turned off, communications can return to normal. Through a type of spoofing called miaconing, even the encrypted military GPS signal can be spoofed. Miaconing does not require cracking the encryption because it merely rebroadcasts a time-delayed copy of the original signal without decrypting it or altering the data. The technology needed to jam and spoof many types of satellite signals is commercially available and inexpensive, making it relatively easy to proliferate among state and non-state actors. And there are also purely cyber-based counterspace weapons. While electronic forms of attack just discussed attempt to interfere with the transmission of RF signals, cyber attacks target the data itself and the systems that use, transmit, and control the flow of data. Cyber attacks on satellites can be used to monitor data traffic patterns, intercept data, or insert false or corrupted data in a system. These attacks can target ground stations, end-user equipment, or the satellites themselves. While cyber attacks require a degree of understanding of the systems being targeted, they do not necessarily require significant resources to conduct. The barrier to entry is relatively low, and cyber attacks can be contracted out to private groups or individuals. So, even if a state or non-state actor lacks internal cyber capabilities, it may still pose a cyber threat. A cyber attack on space systems can result in the loss of data or services being provided by a satellite, which could have widespread systemic effects if used against a system such as GPS. Cyber attacks could have permanent effects if, for example, an adversary seizes control of a satellite through its command and control system. An attacker could shut down all communications and permanently damage the satellite by expending its propellant supply or issuing commands that would damage its electronics and sensors. Accurate and timely attribution of cyber attack can be difficult because attackers can use a variety of methods to conceal their identity, such as using hijacked servers to launch an attack. Given the growing sophistication of the parties involved, their increased dependence on space technology, and the turbulent geopolitical context, it's certain that each of these threats will grow, and that means a growing defense response is required. Given this trend, we offer the following forecasts for your consideration. First, the United States will remain the world's leader in counter-space weapons technology throughout the 2020s. Its research investments into each of the four categories dwarfs that of any other nation, as does its access to state-of-the-art components. Furthermore, America's tightly integrated land, sea, and air approach to warfare relies more on space than Russian and Chinese approaches, so maintaining battle-ready space capabilities is more important to the U.S. and its allies. Second, Russia's once formidable capabilities will become increasingly obsolete due to a lack of state-of-the-art technology. During the Cold War, Soviet counter-space technologies were best of breed. However, AI and advanced signal processing are key to leadership in this field. Russia simply lacks the resources needed to keep up with Western capabilities. Third, as in so many other areas, China will increasingly fall behind the United States and its key allies, Japan and South Korea. Until recently, China was rapidly closing the capabilities gap with the United States in counter-space capabilities. However, semiconductor sanctions are certain to take a toll in this area. Furthermore, as China relies more on satellites for commercial and military applications, it will become increasingly hesitant to fire the first shot in a counter-space war of attrition. And fourth, India will continue to develop its own counter-space capabilities, so it is not forced to rely solely on the cooperation of the United States or its former ally, Russia. China and Pakistan are India's mortal enemies. The United States is a new friend, and Russia is an old friend. In such a shifting world, China wants to have a domestic backup. However, Russia's increasing reliance on China implies that India will be able to count on U.S. space assets when necessary.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.